Hey.
Hello.
All right. We're trying a little something different tonight. It's the Roller on the Barrel show. And we are live right now on Podbean. You don't know that. I'm just waiting for my guest, Mr. Mike Feeney, to come on in. And then we're going to talk vintage baseball. So many different topics. You know, it's world tournament season here in the Midwest. Also, it's Doc Adams season out on the East Coast. And other tournaments, other things happening. So we're going to talk to Mike Feeney about these things as soon as he... he's afraid of the technology that we're doing. But, you know, we're going to give this a go and see how it goes. But of course, as usual, if you don't hear this, well, that's okay, because I'm recording it and I'm going to play it somewhere else. So anyway, Mike Feeney will be the guest one way or another. I might stop this live bull stuff if Mike can't figure out how to get into the room. Other people have. Look at that. Welcome to the room. As soon as Mike Feeney comes into the room, we will we'll get this underway. I just texted it to him. So what we're going to talk about, you know, I get together with Mike Feeney every year at this time because he's involved in so many different projects. So he just played at Gettysburg. He's playing in a tournament in Lansing, Michigan this weekend. It's their first go-round with a tournament. So he's going to talk about that. I believe Marbles has joined the room. I just need him to call in and be a guest on the show, I guess. Marbles, if you can hear me, I also sent you a link in your email to be co-host. But anyway, so Marbles is going to the Lansing tournament this weekend. We're going to talk about the clubs that are going to that. The Corn Chuckers also have a charity event going on Saturday night. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about the groupings at the Worlds and get Mike's thoughts on all of the groupings and his usual predictions. He's usually quite candid about his predictions. And then we're going to talk about, the usual subjects that get people so upset around this time, and have gotten people upset again at this time. And, you know, we're just going to discuss things that you guys like to discuss with each other, but then when somebody else brings them up, you get all angry. So we're going to talk about that kind of stuff. And, recruiting and all kinds of stuff. Mike had a lot of subject matter he wanted to go over today. Let me read his list. The Akron Cup recap. That's right. Kent went to the Akron Cup, Gettysburg, playing with Flat Rock at Gettysburg, the Lansing pre-tournament, the Doc Adams, they're going out there, and the World Tournament pool. That's a lot of subject matter. If we could just get him to come into the room without me having to quit this. Marbles wants to call in. Oh, let's see if this works. Oh, it's technology I'm practicing again because I got the Doc Adams Festival coming up in just a little over a week, and I'm going there, and I'm not going to have any equipment with me, and I'm just trying out a couple of things that I've never really got a handle on. Marbles is a speaker now, according to this. And I think I heard him. Mike, are you there?
I am here.
Yay! All right. We are live with Mike Feeney.
That's so scary.
So, hey, Mike, how you doing? How's the haunt coming along?
It's a process, that's for sure. But everything's going pretty well, and a lot of fun baseball events coming up, and I'm extremely looking forward to them.
Yes, and we're going to get right into it, but first, we're going to talk about some of the elephants in the room. So you recently played with the Flat Rock Bear Clan at Gettysburg.
I did.
And you're going to tell me about your experience with that all, that whole thing. I wasn't there. But I want to talk about something that's got people's feelings hurt. Okay. So I was not at Gettysburg. So I did not see how Flat Rock played, and I did not see how Walker played, but they both, Flat Rock won the tournament. Congratulations to them. And Walker finished in, Mike, was it third or fourth?
I think it was either of the two. I don't think they ever played an official third place match, but they made it to the final four and then lost there to Rising Sun.
Okay, so I brought up a hypothetical situation. When you got a podcast and it's been going for 3 years now and it's vintage baseball and the rules never change and the events don't really change and the people don't change, it's hard to come up with subject matter sometimes. So I came across what I thought would be an interesting subject matter, not for Flat Rock to talk about and not for Walker to talk about and not for Mike Feeney to talk about, but for everybody else, especially the people that were at Gettysburg. And that was, if Mike Feeney didn't play with Flat Rock, but he did play with Walker, who would have won Gettysburg? It's completely subjective. I have no idea. I wasn't there. I wasn't saying, I did not mean to infer that Flat Rock only won because Mike Feeney was playing with them.
That's very kind of you to say. Thank you.
And I was not saying that Walker would have won if Mike Feeney was playing with them. That's not what my point was. My point was one of Walker's weaknesses, which it's hard to say weakness, they did so well. Would Mike Feeney have been enough for Walker to go over the top or whatever their shortcoming was to not win? I guess is what I'm saying. Because I don't even know what Mike added to the Flat Rock experience. I wasn't there. I did not watch the matches. I did not hear about the matches. This is all just trying to come up with subject matter for a podcast that goes on all over the place. So that is not an insult to Flat Rock. That's just material. So let me ask, and Mike, I'm going to bring it to you and let you talk on it and whatever. But obviously, Mike's going to say no, Flat Rock would have won anyway. So he can't be impartial on this. He's very partial. But Mike, it's just a hypothetical question. If you played with Walker instead of Flat Rock at Gettysburg, who wins the championship?
Bovina Dairyman.
Okay. So I think that's what we were all thinking you were going to say.
I mean, Flat Rock had a really good team. I was their 11th guy. I was invited to play with Walker Tavern as well. The main difference was I got the invitation from Walker Tavern second week of July, and I got the invite from Flat Rock last August when I was playing with them rather regularly, subbing on their team. Last year, I think I probably played 6 or 7 games for Flat Rock, which is more than the average Midwest player plays for their own team, it seems. So I don't really think that I was necessarily just an add-on piece, but there was a time there where I felt like I was more than just a sub to that team. And when I agreed to play with them this year, that's how it was. And even though, you know, there were, you know, I made 11 on Flat Rock and I would have made 7 on Walker Tavern at the time. I had previously committed to Flat Rock and I just wanted to carry out that obligation. But go ahead.
But my question had nothing to do with what you were doing. Mine was solely a hypothetical of if you would have been on the other team, would anything have been different? And you're saying no.
I don't think
And, you know, I don't know. I'm just, it was more of out there for people who went and saw both of them play. I was just curious. Now, all of my ideas for subject matter aren't winners, people. I'm just trying over here, okay? But this came on the heels of every year when Worlds Tournament comes up, we always, the vintage community, not we as in you and me, even though we do it, we always make reference to players who haven't played all year and, you know, now they're going to show up. And so this happens with every team and every year. That's the joke of it. Okay. This is, we are not attacking people. Mike, I know you want to talk about that. These were separate matters and it just seems they got clumped together and now everybody's upset. Don't be upset, people. It's just a vintage baseball podcast and it's just vintage baseball. It's not that serious. But Mike, please address your participation in conversations about guys only showing up at the world.
I mean, I think it's a tough subject matter because there are some guys that play on teams exclusively and don't play with that team all that frequently. I see that as less of a problem and less of, you know, topic of discussion than the guys that, you know, play for a different team throughout the year. But this upcoming, the weekend of the World Tournament, they're wearing a completely different uniform. They don't wear it any other time throughout the year. You know, I look at teams like Saginaw and Walker Tavern, who are both great teams, who have great players that have played with them for the better part of the last decade, who, you know, now have families or kids or, you know, something else going on, and they make far less games than they used to. I had a good conversation with Squints the other day about it, and, you know, he brought up the point where it's like, you know, it's not like they went off to play for another team. They just haven't been around. How is that much different from a major league player that's injured and out half the season? You know, they're still a member of the Tigers, but they're not necessarily, you know, around as much. It doesn't mean they're not a part of that team anymore. And that does make sense as a team that typically has a full roster. I mean, there's obviously objections and exceptions to that, where there are times we borrow players as well. I think that's something every team runs into at one point or another. But, like, you know, it's that team that typically has a full roster. It's just tough when you see this really good team at the World Tournament and you think, man, like, they look like a great team. We didn't get to play them this weekend, but we'd love to play them next year. You schedule them, and then you see three of those guys you saw at the World Tournament, and they're scrambling for players the Thursday before the game you're supposed to play them. So I definitely think there's, you know, it's definitely a topic of discussion. I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it. I don't think anybody's to be excluded from the team they're on. But at the same time, is a team that's, you know, I'm lucky to have a team that's very committed to playing vintage baseball and takes it probably more seriously than anybody ever should. But, you know, it's just a little, you know.
Well, the thing is every year at the Worlds, we always, this stuff just always comes up. So we always have to have the same conversations every year. At Gettysburg and at the Worlds Tournament, there are no rules about who you add to your team. Everything you do is legal. No one's ever been, to my knowledge, declined an invitation because they added somebody to their roster. Is that correct?
As far as I know, I believe that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. So nobody's cheating. Everybody's doing what's within the rules. But like I said, we're just searching for this. These are subject matters that get people fired up and they're passionate about. and they have opinions and strong opinions about these kind of things, and nobody's wrong. You know, it's all subjective. How does each person feel individually? You know, but we can make, we try, but we're just making jokes. Like when we tell somebody, you know, like, I know you were making jokes with a couple of players about, oh, you still play? It's a joke. Yeah, you
don't mean anything. I don't think they knew I was joking based on the responses, and I felt a little bad about it, but I thought it was a pretty harmless joke at the time I typed it.
The thing is, and I've said it so many times, that your family comes first, will always come first, should always come first. Coaching your sons in baseball or doing anything with your families, well, that's way more important than vintage baseball. Make no mistake.
Depends who you ask.
You don't have kids. You don't get an answer.
I'll speak on behalf of my team, and I don't think they'll argue with me, but the guys that want to make it work, make it work. It's like Meal Ticket's got three kids. He's played 20 of our 21 games. Six Shooter has a couple kids. He's played 20 of our 21. Actually, he's played all 21 of our games. So it's like, you know, I get that things come up, but not every situation is exactly the same. But if vintage baseball is something you prioritize, and you know, is something you can do more than once a year, if you want to make it work, you can make it work.
Okay, but you would agree that Canton is an anomaly.
Yeah, I would say most teams don't have that same mindset where
in the Midwest.
Yeah, especially in the Midwest. But I mean, I think a lot of our team, you know, we see each other as brothers, and we look at vintage baseball as a family in itself. And I you know, when you say family comes first, you know, to me, the Corn Shuckers is family. I mean, I put the team first over everything else I can possibly. But like, as you said, yeah, I don't think that's very common practice, especially here in the Midwest.
Right. You are definitely a club that has East Coast values as you make your transition into East Coast aggressiveness or, you know, rule sets and stuff. So you guys are a little too much to take right now, but like I said, you and I agree, like, I don't know, like 85% of the time, but we disagree 15% of the time, and somehow, some way, we're still friends. And
it seems very crazy these days, because I feel like if you disagree with somebody on one certain topic, you can no longer be their friend, which just seems so crazy to me. But
it's crazy how you can agree with somebody 99 times, but that one time you disagree with them, you're not a gentleman anymore.
Yeah,
you are the worst.
Yeah.
Oh well, what can you do? So what do you want to start with, Mike? You want to start with your Gettysburg experience? That's in the past. Let's start there.
Yeah, I thought Gettysburg was great. Like I said, I came onto Flat Rock as the 11th guy. I committed to playing with them last year. It might have been the first three games, might have been the first two. The whole weekend's pretty much a blur. But, I mean, I spent the majority part of the first two, three games riding the bench half the game and playing second base the other half. And that was pretty much how day one went for me. So, you know, going back to that topic of me making, you know, a big addition to their team, I don't really think that was the case, especially on Saturday. And I also think they won all of their games by probably 10 to 15 runs, if I'm remembering correct, on Saturday. So, but it was a blast. Gettysburg was awesome. I love that they did the tournament format. It was kind of interesting. I think they intentionally designed the brackets the way they did, as it was pretty clear cut from the beginning, like who the final eight teams would be. And there weren't really any upsets, at least that I was aware of, in the first few rounds of the tournament. But with that being said,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, with that being said, I think, I know the Capitals seem to have a little bit of confusion. I think there were a couple other teams where the time limits with the tournament kind of got nixed on Sunday for the semifinals and such. And it staggered some field times, which made the festival format a little more confusing. And some teams might have lost out on a game or two because of that on Sunday. But I mean, going from a festival format to a tournament format, where you're going tournament to festival during it, it does definitely get complicated. And when it's, you know, loser of game 17 versus loser of game 24 at 8:15 on Sunday, you don't really know, you know, there's a lot of things that can get lost in translation, and teams got a little confused at where they were supposed to be when. But overall, incredible experience. It's a really cool place to play. Anybody that's never been out there, I highly recommend trying to talk your team into making a trip.
Now, it might be a little bit before your time. I'm not sure of the timeline, but Gettysburg used to be a tournament. Do you remember if they went into a festival format when you got eliminated from the tournament back then, or was it just straight tournament?
That was a couple years before my time. I think they stopped doing the tournament in 2011 or 2012, or I started in 2014. I'm not sure what happened when you lost out, but I think at the time it was still a very small tournament. I don't think there were more than like 12 teams. I know Gettysburg actually keeps all their score records on their website, so you could probably look back and see how many teams were in that, but I don't think it was a big event. I think it was smaller than what the World Tournament is now.
And how many times have you gone to Gettysburg now?
This is my third time going. I went for the first time, I think it was in 2016 or 17 with the Walker Tavern Wheels when I was a full-time member of their club. The Canton Corn Shuckers went last year after 2020 got nixed because of COVID. And then I had so much fun, I decided to make the trip again this year with Flat Rock.
And so I guess we're up to Sunday. How did everything go on Sunday?
It was great.
As far as I'm talking Flat Rock specific.
Yeah, Flat Rock. I mean, they were able to pull it off, which was great. It was really cool to be, you know, in that setting and make it to the finals of the first time they've done a tournament in the last decade. In some ways, I think the semifinal game against the Bovina Dairymen felt like a championship game. You know, being on Canton, they reminded me a lot of Canton, you know, whereas a lot of younger guys who play the game really hard. And those, I had no idea anything about that club going in, no idea where they were from or anything of the sort. And they were a fantastic baseball club. Definitely one of the best I've seen. And we had a one run game with them in the semis. I think we were up 10-8 going into the ninth. They scored two to tie it in the top of the ninth, and Flat Rock was able to get away with a, you know, modern term, I guess you could say, with a walk-off win. And that ended up being a one run differential game. And that was one of the best games I've played in all year. And then going to the championship, it just seemed like a lot of guys were deflated by that point. It was the fifth game in the weekend. Gettysburg's always hot. It had rained a couple times. And I think a lot of the excitement had been sucked out of the sails by the time, you know, the championship happened at 4 p.m. on Sunday or so. But Flat Rock was able to pull away. I don't remember the final score exactly. It was about a 10-run differential, 20-something to something in the teens between Flat Rock and Rising Sun for the championship.
So did you have any chance to watch Walker over the weekend?
I did get a chance to see a little bit of their game against the Rising Sun Club in the semifinals as our semifinal game ended a good probably about 45 minutes before their semifinal game ended.
So go ahead and give us a quick scouting report pre-Worlds tournament on Flat Rock and on Walker.
Flat Rock, I think it's just about everything everybody thinks of them, where it's just a very big, strong, hard hitting team. You know, solid defense, but that's not what they're known for. I don't think the Walker Tavern team that you saw in Gettysburg will be the team you'll see at the World Tournament. I think the World Tournament Walker Tavern team will probably be twice as strong as what was seen at Gettysburg. They were definitely short some guys. I know they were scrambling at the last minute to fill out their roster, and good on them to do it. And to the best of my knowledge, they did it with all players that were either new to the game or were Walker Tavern exclusive players, with the exception of Ace, who's a corn shucker, but I suppose he's kind of off the hook because he's the son of the captain of the Walker Tavern Wheels as well. But I think they had about half of their regulars there, and I think their team at the World Tournament is going to be much stronger than what was seen at Gettysburg. And if they brought their World Tournament team to Gettysburg, I would have put money on them to win that as well.
Okay. Is there a team that you ran across in Gettysburg that you didn't have very much information about prior to and came away was a very high opinion of.
Yeah, yeah. Rising Sun Baseball Club out of Maryland. I didn't really know much about them. I had talked to a few of their guys. I know they were they've considered making a trip out to Michigan potentially next year or the year following. And I've been in loose talks with them, but I had never really gotten a chance to see them play. They're a really solid baseball club, and as I've mentioned before, the Bovina Dairymen, like, they're one of the better teams I've seen in all of vintage baseball at any given time. And I think they're kind of, if they're not in their peak right now, they're swinging into it. And I would love to get a chance to play them again, because it's just one of the best games I've played all year, probably the best game I've played all year, and one of the best games I've played in the last few years. It's just really incredible atmosphere, and you know, they play intensely, but they make you bring your game level up as well.
Excellent. You had a very positive Gettysburg experience, as most people do, if not all. I will be going to Gettysburg as a fan. I don't know.
Okay.
A crank. Next year, and
yeah.
getting content for this nonsense, and but I'll be having a lot of Gettysburg experience as far as the tours and all that. I haven't ever been there, so I got a lot of history to do while I'm there, and hopefully Adam McCulley tells me about the haunted hotel he stayed at that was addressed in his episode that he's never been willing to give up that information to, but I'd like that. Okay. So you're back from Gettysburg. You've got a new thing this weekend. So let's talk about this candidly, if we can, gently. It's the Lansing Capital Tournament. What's the official name of that?
It is the Capital Trophy Tournament.
Okay. So second year club, first time event. I know that they were going big with 16 spots available. I know they had issues filling the 16, and then they've had clubs drop out. Where are they at right now with that?
I believe they initially had 13 clubs that signed on. I think the original plan from them was to make this a strictly Michigan event. And at this point it is, and there are 10 teams, as three have dropped out in the last 2 weeks or so.
And we're at Thursday night, so there's still a chance. One more drops out tomorrow.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's out of the question, but looking at the teams remaining, they all seem pretty reliable for the most part, at least to not do last minute cancellations. So hopefully this 10 even number rounds out well and ends up being the final number of teams that are coming to this event.
What's the format for this event?
It originally started as like three groups of roughly four, and one of the groups was five. You basically just play every team in your division on Saturday, with the elimination round coming on Sunday. So kind of similar to the World Tournament in that sense, except you're getting three games on Saturday instead of two. And nobody is really eliminated going into Sunday. So Saturday is just seeding your club, and the teams are ranked. And then you play, you know, if you're a high seed, you play a low seed, you know, and the middle seeds play each other. And then Sunday is just the elimination round. And I believe once you've lost in that, I believe you're eliminated.
I hate to ask you these questions. I should have had Michael on at some point before this tournament, but you know all the answers and you're in front of me, so I'm asking you.
I think you might be too busy rescheduling everything. Because I mean, working on the Frankenmuth schedule with Schoolboy was extremely frustrating, and we had two dropouts, and Lansing's already had three, and it's a first year event, and I know he's going really big with this event and doing everything he can to make it happen, and I give him all the props in the world, because we have a charity event later that day on Saturday. He was able to adjust our game times and keep them the same after rescheduling twice after the original schedule. So big props going out to him for making this as it are, you know, I guess I can speak more about it after the weekend happens, but you know, we're extremely thrilled with everything and all the efforts they've put forward into this event already.
Quick note out to Rudy Frias. I see everything that you're typing. I don't need to look at it later. Okay. So I heard a rumor. You do not have to address these rumors. You are not a spokesman for the tournament. I don't know if you've heard of these details and information. Did we have a couple of teams drop out because rule changes happened?
I don't know if that's the proper way to put it. I do think a couple teams dropped out because they were not aware of the rules that were sent out initially. I don't think there were really any major changes. Teams just kind of became aware of the rule set and were unhappy with it and decided to no longer attend.
So what is the rule set?
Same as Gettysburg, 1864 baseball.
Okay.
It's unrestricted. You know, I know people will say, oh, the East Coast way it was, you know, the way the East Coast plays it. But I mean, that was just 1864 baseball, to be honest. But it is what is common practice on the east side of the country.
Right. So no modifications. There's no modifications then. It's straight 1864. The ball's never dead.
Correct. I think one thing that may have changed is initially if a player slid to avoid contact, they would be warned. And if their team did it again, they would be called out. And I think once there was more information that they learned about that would have not happened, they got rid of that rule. But I think that might have been the only thing that changed in terms of like the rule set from when we were initially approached about this last offseason.
So is sliding allowed?
I don't think it's encouraged necessarily, but I mean, it's not really emphasized, but they're not going to call you out if you do it, especially to avoid contact.
In Mike Feeney's opinion, in the year 1864, were baseball players sliding?
Yes.
Okay. In Mike Feeney's opinion, in 1864, were guys, or no, I'm sorry, 1867.
Okay.
Were guys hitting the ball into fair territory and doing a fair foul and knocking it way out of foul territory after one bounce?
That's really tough. I want to lean towards no, that it wasn't done intentionally, but I'm sure there was, like, in my gut, I feel that there was somebody out there doing it intentionally, even if they made it look unintentional.
Okay, it's just your opinion, so there is no wrong answer.
To an extent, yes. I would say somebody did it intentionally in 1867, yeah.
So, do you know of anything else going on at this Lansing tournament? Have you been to the venue before? Do you know anything else, or are you going to experience everything else for the first time?
I'm experiencing everything about this for the first time. We haven't played Lansing before. We didn't have them scheduled originally, but since, you know, a third of the teams that were in this event have canceled, we now have Lansing, and we're really looking forward to playing them. They also have a few skills competitions that look like a lot of fun, where they're also going to be taking some averages from the team. So even if you're not the, you know, fastest runner, they're going to have take the average of your team's speed and determine a winner in terms of the teams. So I thought that was unique. I haven't seen anything like that really done before. But yeah, I haven't been to the field, haven't got a chance to play the Capital Club before. So really looking forward to this event. And they've put forth a lot of effort, as you can tell, into it. And I'm excited to see it all play out.
Excellent, excellent. And then after that, you are out to the East Coast. Now, people who don't know us might think that we have some sort of relationship, Mike, because I'm going to you have a charity event this Saturday that I'm going to actually umpire for.
Yes.
And what is this event that I'm coming to umpire for?
Okay, this event is a charity event for Earl Farms, and they do a lot of providing beef for the needy and fundraising as well. And this event is a fundraiser for that. It's like a they do a different fundraiser every year. From my understanding, they did like a sunflower benefit fundraiser last year, and this year's theme is like an ice cream social and baseball. And if I'm remembering their history correctly, that farm was founded in 1864, and they thought, let's do an 1864 baseball game. So we're going to be playing there against the club that they have assembled. The Howell Cow Tippers is the club name that they're going by. You know, they're new to vintage baseball. As far as I know, none of them have ever played vintage baseball. They've witnessed it on a couple occasions. I know the organizer, Brent Earl, came up to Frankenmuth to get a little better view of baseball and how it was played in the 1860s. But yeah, they've gotten some uniforms that aren't truly authentic to the period, but you know, they're going to be a uniformed club that's going to take the field with us on Saturday evening, and we're really looking forward to that event.
And then after that, you and I are heading to the East Coast, not together. We're going, and we did not plan to go together. We didn't even know. I don't think I knew you were even going until like a month ago.
No, you didn't.
But we're going to both be at the Doc Adams Festival.
That is correct.
And do you have your schedule for that?
I do. I'm working on pulling that up right now. And I know Big Bat and on the Mutuals is going to kill me because I still haven't sent in one of my waivers. And I totally meant to do that today. And as I'm sitting here, I'm realizing I did not do that today.
Oh, organizers love it when they don't get waivers.
Yes.
That's just what I've heard. So Old Bethpage out there in New York, you guys are playing both days. And then what's the plan? You guys just driving back on Sunday?
I think about half, maybe not half the team, but a few of us are driving out there. I think the majority might be actually flying out there. And I get to become the pack mule that has my car full of stinky cleats and baseball bats. but I'm heading out Thursday morning with a couple teammates of mine, and we're going to do a few New York things while we're out there, and then probably stay out there for the weekend and then come back, take our time coming back and show up back home in Canton, Michigan, probably around Tuesday of the following week.
And I am staying in Old Bethpage area for Saturday and Sunday, and then we're staying in Times Square on Monday, and then we're driving to, I want to say, Philadelphia for a day and taking some tours and stuff, and then Baltimore, and then Washington, D.C. for a couple of days before we fly back home.
Fantastic.
I'm going to a Phillies game. I'm going to an Orioles game. I'm going to a Nationals game. I'm kind of on the fence about the Mets game.
Yeah, I think our club's planning on going out Friday night to the Mets game, so you're welcome to join us if you'd like.
I won't be there.
Okay.
we are flying out Saturday morning.
Gotcha.
So, I'm not setting up or anything with the podcast. I'm just doing everything on my phone. I'm just going to be mainly spectating with some interviews and stuff like that, just right on the phone. So no big deal.
We have the first two time slots on Saturday. So we're playing at 8:30 against Connecticut under 1867 rules. And then we're playing against the Rising Sun Baseball Club, who I just played with Flat Rock at the Gettysburg Championship match, at 10:15. And those will be 1864 rules.
So I'll probably miss that game against Connecticut. That ticks me off. But I'll probably be there for that 10:15. So
awesome.
Hoping to anyway.
Yeah. So, and then we're excited because on Sunday we get a chance to play against the Providence Grays overhand. It'll be our first chance to play 1884 rules. So we're really looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. So I'll be there for that as well.
Yep.
And then, for sure.
And then we close it out Sunday at 12:15 game with the Brooklyn Atlantics, which will be under 1864 rules again.
Nice. Well, geez, that's a hell of an event for you guys.
Yeah. It's some of the best clubs on the East Coast, and we're really looking forward to it.
And then you get back to Michigan and you settle in getting ready for the World's Tournament. I think we've talked about this a couple of years now, or 1 year last year on the podcast, and then we were too late for the year before that, I think. I don't remember. Anyway, let's go over the groups in the World Tournament. Let's get your prediction for the groups, except your own, because you're going to predict yourself. We don't need to go through that nonsense.
I don't think I am, but okay.
Okay. Well, we'll leave that for the end then. Let's talk about the other groups. I don't have it in front of me. You got it in front of you.
Yep. So Group A, which is the J.R. Jones group, is the Columbus Buckeyes, the La-Di-Da Baseball Club of Greenfield Village, and the Walker Tavern Baseball Club.
So one thing that always happens every year that I say is teams complain about their grouping. You know all the teams are good, right? the only exception, and let me tell you, everybody's sleeping on the Indianapolis Blues, but there's one guy that's not sleeping on the Indianapolis Blues, and that's this guy.
Okay.
But the Nationals are the only team that you could say is a lesser than. And when we talk to Mike Ossie, Rudy and I are going to talk to Mike Ossie on Monday. We're going to bring up the Nationals and see what he's got to say about that.
Okay.
And we're curious as to, since they went down in team numbers, we're just curious, is it as simple as, listen, it's our tournament? if that's the answer, then that's the answer.
Yeah, I think that's, I honestly think that's part of it. I think another big part too is that Greenfield Village has, you know, a whole historic baseball program, and they have, I think they're up over 30 plus members to it. And I think it's kind of a challenge when you have that many guys and then you play every Saturday and Sunday from June through Labor Day to only pick, you know, 10 or 11 guys that get to participate in that. You know, maybe Ossie will have a different response, but I'm like, when these guys are volunteering their time for the majority of their summer, it's hard to be like, oh yeah, this cool big event that we put on, you're not allowed to be a part of it.
Right. That's a good answer. And if that's the answer, my opinion doesn't count, but I'm good with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, you know, people ask me all the time, why do you do this or why do you do that at the Frankenmuth event? Because I can.
Yeah, that's all it takes. If somebody else wants to do it differently, they can step up and organize it differently.
That's right. I look forward to your festival. that's what I say to you every time you've got a new idea. What do you do this? Wow. I look forward to your festival, Mike. All right. So tell me, who do you think's coming out of that group?
Oh, I think that is one of the tightest groups where I don't have an answer for. As a member of the La-Di-Da Baseball Club this year, I will say that it will not be the La-Di-Da Baseball Club. I think Walker Tavern has the best chance to do it. Columbus Buckeyes are a solid club, and if I'm remembering correctly, they handed it to Walker Tavern somewhere down in Ohio last year. It was one of those events where I don't think Walker Tavern had their full club. But the thing is, too, is the Buckeyes haven't been up here to play a lot of Michigan teams lately, so they might be bringing a really I don't want to say stacked squad because that's not right, but they might be bringing a really strong squad because I know those guys really do you know, play for their own team and don't really bounce around amongst a bunch of other teams. So I'm expecting that Buckeyes team to be strong, but if Walker Tavern shows up with all their guns, they're most likely going to all be healthy, at least on Saturday. I got Walker Tavern coming out of the J.R. Jones group.
Okay. Next group.
Next group is the Chadwick group, which is the Indianapolis Blues, the Nationals, and the Columbus Capitals. I want to say the Capitals cause I love them, but I don't know if they're going to have more than 7 players. I mean, I don't think it's any secret. That's how their season's gone this year. And I know that's really tough for them, but, you know, maybe one of those things where they're scrambling to fill those last 2 spots on Saturday, or maybe they already got the roster of 15 guys that are going to come down. You know, I would love to see a Columbus matchup on Sunday morning, but I think the Blues are going to actually walk out of that Chadwick group this year.
I'd rather enjoy myself than to see Columbus versus Columbus. So
it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen, and it never happens in Michigan. So it'd be a treat to see that.
No, it wouldn't be a treat. That's not fun baseball.
I think it would be fun.
You know what? I hope it happens. I changed my mind.
I got Walker Tavern and the Blues. I don't think Capitals Buckeyes would be nearly exciting in a second class or third class bracket. But if that's the semifinal match, I think that would be a very good game of baseball. Because when those two teams can bring out their top players, they're both very, very solid clubs.
Okay, next group.
Next group is I'll skip over my group because you said we'll do that one last. And the other group is the McLeod group, which has Saginaw Old Golds, Bay City Independents, and the Black Flags. Looking at it, you're looking at three super strong teams. But that depends on the day. I mean, we're talking the middle of August at Walnut Grove at Greenfield Village. Saginaw's going to do it. No doubt in my mind that Saginaw's going to come out of that group. You know, the Black Flags always come up with some new players. Nothing against them. I mean, they're adding their friends to the team, which there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. But I think it's at a point where it's like if they add anybody else without subtracting anybody else, they're going to have a too deep of a roster and not going to be able to get through it. I don't know who Bay City's going to bring. You know, we typically see their top 10, 11 guys on a week-in, week-out basis, but they have a lot of other guys that are members of that club. And I think it might be one of those things similarly where if they get a super thick roster, it's going to be hard to turn it over and, you know, kind of hard to get in the swing of things. And, you know, Saginaw is one of those teams where when it comes time for the world tournament, they buckle down, they play their game, they hit well, they field well. I mean, I think they're definitely going to come out of the McLeod group and be the winner of that division.
Okay, and then your group.
We have Flat Rock and the Oregon Ganymedes. And I've been tempted to pull out the old Scott Steiner math promo here to say how well of a chance everybody has.
Would you do that, please?
Well, you know, they say all men are created equal. But you look at Canton and you look at Flat Rock, and you can see that statement is not true. See, normally you go one-on-one with another baseball club, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. But we're genetic freaks, and we're not normal. So you got 25% at best to beat us. Then you add the Oregon Ganymedes to the mix, and your chances of winning drastically go down. See, the three-way at the World Tournament, you got a 33 and a third chance of winning. But I got a 66 and two-thirds chance of winning because the Oregon Ganymedes know they can't beat us, and they're not even going to try. So, Flat Rock, you take your 33 and a third chance minus my 25% chance, and you got an 8 and a third chance of winning at the World Tournament. But then you take my 75% chance of winning. If we were to go one-on-one and then add the 66 and two-thirds percent, I got a 141 and two-thirds chance of winning at the World Tournament. See, Flat Rock, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at sacrifice.
Oh, my God, you memorized that whole thing.
But honestly, I think Flat Rock has a great chance. I think a lot of clubs will look at us as going in as, you know, one of the teams to beat for this event. And I think we perform better as the underdogs. So I'm going to say that we're, at least in my mind, I'm going to pretend that we're one of the underdogs. Flat Rock is a solid club. They just came off of winning a 32-team event. And that's nothing to take lightly. You know, they're a solid club through and through. They're one of the best, you know, historical representations of the game in the state of Michigan. They show up every week, you know, maybe not completely with their top nine guys every week. But, you know, if it's a big game, their team's going to be there. And I think they've got a really good chance of if they win this, the Haney's group, I think they're going to win the whole thing.
Okay, so break down the Final Four and the championship match.
So Final Four, I got Walker Tavern, Indianapolis Blues, if I'm saying Flat Rock and the Old Golds. To me, it feels a little disappointing of a Final Four. I haven't really looked at it in a Final Four matchup yet. I think Walker Tavern would take out the Blues. I haven't seen the Blues in a few years, but I've seen Walker Tavern a lot. And I would say that Walker Tavern would take care of the Blues rather easily. And then I look at Flat Rock and Saginaw, and that's a rematch from last year's championship. I could see either of them winning it. I think the real question there is how well does Saginaw show up on day two? If, you know, they got guys that haven't played many games this year, are they going to be a little sore and beat up? You know, Flat Rock just came off of five games at Gettysburg, and they, you know, they were pretty healthy and they didn't really have too many issues with that, aside from Stash pulling both his hamstrings, but he does that every week. So Flat Rock, Saginaw, I'd put my money on Flat Rock, putting the finals with Flat Rock, Walker Tavern. And although Flat Rock was able to make it out of the Final Four at Gettysburg, Walker Tavern's got a stronger team here in the Mitten, and I think they'll be bringing a strong team that weekend, and I would say Walker Tavern's going to take their second World Tournament.
Okay, and I'll just run through my my thoughts. I agree with Walker coming out of that group. I also agree with nothing else. Is what I agree with. I got the Capitals coming out of the Chadwick.
Do you know the team they're bringing? Just out of curiosity. I have no idea.
Do I know the team they're bringing?
Right.
Do the Capitals I know the team that they're bringing? Do me?
Yeah.
No, okay. I have no idea.
Okay.
I do know that they're showing up in some mighty spiffy red, white, and blue plaid shirts.
Okay.
scouting report is I'm bringing the flux capacitor that's sitting right here on my desk, and the Capitals are going to turn back time like their share, and they're coming out of the Chadwick. And then I have Drovertown coming out of the Saginaw Bay City Drovertown bracket, and then I have Oregon coming out of the other bracket.
Okay.
I've got Walker beating Columbus. I've got Oregon beating Drovertown, and I have Oregon winning the Vintage Baseball Worlds Tournament.
Okay. They're a great club.
They're great, and they're due.
They are. We got our Field of Dreams. We got to play against them earlier this season because they wanted to, expand their 1867 play, because there's not too many teams out there that'll play a fly game, and they play it well. There's definitely some, you know, little quirks with the rules that, you know, they're not as familiar with as I believe they normally play. I could be wrong, but I'll say late 1850s because I don't know the exact year. But I don't think they play too much 1860s ball, especially 1867. So, for them to always show up and be as good as they are at that tournament for not playing that rule set is really impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always been impressed with Oregon every time I've watched them. They've gotten progressively better every time I've seen them. And I'm just anticipating another step that's a big enough step, I think. Just a feeling.
I don't disagree that whoever comes out of Group C will be in a great position to win the event. But I think you're totally wrong with the Black Flags beating Saginaw.
Well, I don't think it's ridiculous. Saginaw could absolutely beat Drovertown. But
I know Drovertown's beat Saginaw before. But I think I feel like when Saginaw loses to somebody, they don't normally come back and let it happen again.
Well, I don't have a theory on why. I guess the closest theory I would have is when you are a bunch of young Thundercats, you play together. You don't play all the time. You get together. It doesn't matter because they're good. Nobody plays defense like Saginaw. They don't make any mistakes. They are fundamentally sound. Every time I talk about Saginaw, I tell everybody the scouting report is they're not the best hitting team, but they are the best fielding team, and that's why they always win. Everybody can hit. All the teams at the tournament can hit, but they can't field like Saginaw does. So I don't know. Are they going to lose? Are they going to have everybody all weekend? Are they going to lose an important player that plays an important position? Sometimes they do that. They still manage to get through, but they get older all the time. I go against everything I think, because I always say I will never bet against somebody until they get beat. I shouldn't be betting against Saginaw. It goes against everything I believe in.
What are they at? 7 world tournament wins?
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous, but I'm doing it. And I'll probably be wrong. I don't know. I think Droverton's due for something big, a big win. And they had one. They've had big wins, but I don't know. There's just something about them new uniforms that just makes me think something's going to happen.
Yeah. I look at the C&D group, and I think that side of the bracket is a little bit more heavily loaded than the other side. You know, especially seeing two clubs from Greenfield Village on the one side. I'm just saying that because I saw Minnow join the chat.
I'm not really basing my Droverton feeling on their uniform. But anyway, they are good-looking uniforms.
Yeah. I think if there's any team due at the World Tournament, it's Bay City.
Yeah, but they don't have the horses.
I think that's debatable.
Yeah?
They took
us. That's not what you said last year, and they're the same team. Do you want me to edit this interview and to insert what you said about Bay City last year? Because they're the same team.
I didn't say that they didn't have the horses to do it. I just said that they were going to choke. I do think they're due. I do think they're due. I do think they have the pieces to win it. But again, they're going to choke.
Oh, no. Last year, Mike Finney said that.
We're
going to
see him Sunday morning, and they're going to make me eat my words. So,
you said that in an episode last year. It was one of the – I don't remember how long we talked for. It was in the lobby of the Pink Pony or whatever it's called. I don't know. Pink
Palace. It was after they knocked us out of the tournament.
Yes. That is true. That is true. They didn't choke in that match, did they?
No, it's always day two. It's always day two for
them. No, Bay City's fine. Nothing wrong with Bay City. Bay City can beat anybody. They're not going to, but they could. I mean, I just don't think they have that many games in a row in them to play at the level that you're going to need to play.
Right.
But they could beat anybody.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's more of a Jeff Rawls really old. I guess that's what I'm going for here.
That's where I see Flat Rock having an advantage, because those guys can just keep playing baseball. It doesn't matter to them.
Well, and you guys are the same way. You guys don't get tired.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're happy to play 6, 7, 8 games in a weekend if we're given it. I think we're slated for 7 or 8 this weekend, another 4 next weekend, and those are the 2 weeks before the World Tournament. So... But, you know, with us and Flat Rock in the same group, I think whoever makes it out of that has a good chance to make the finals.
Okay, Mike. Hey, we've done it. Is there something else you wanted to address before we're out? We got a minute and 40 seconds left. What do you want to talk about in this minute and 40?
I can't say anything nice in a minute and 40 seconds, so I'm not going to say anything at all.
You don't have to say something nice. Nobody said that.
I think it's best if I don't say anything in a minute 40 seconds, because I'm going to get cut off explaining myself, and I'm just going to create more issues.
That's probably for the best. Were you happy with how Frankenmuth came out, Mike?
I loved it. I'm looking forward to it next year. Thank you so much for doing it again.
You can beg me for all the snow cones in the world, and that's not going to happen. I'll tell you that. There is a 99.99% chance that that's not happening ever again. It would take so much on their end to even get me to take the phone call at this point. But never say never. I say that because the world is crazy. I believe we live in a simulation. Have we ever had this talk? Anyway, we don't have time to get into that. Mike, thanks for coming on the show. It's always great to touch base with you as a baseball player, instead of a friend who's always trying to talk me into silly stuff. So I look forward to seeing you next weekend. That's so appropriate. It's so appropriate that we would drop that call right at the end. Are you there? No, you are there.
I'm here. I'm still here.
We had longer than an hour.
I got nothing else to do.
I got nothing else to do. I don't play baseball for another 2 days, so I'm just sitting.
No, around. You're working on your haunt. Is it going to be bigger and better this year?
It is. It is. Unfortunately, I just want to keep it the same so I can do less work, but I don't think that's how that works.
Do you like do a theme, or do you? Is it the same theme every year, or do you like to challenge yourself and do a different theme every year?
We'll normally keep some of the old themes around and then just add some new stuff. We got a new like pumpkin farm we're building in this year.
Oh, sweet. Nothing wrong with a good pumpkin farm.
Yes, kind of classic Halloween.
So this year, the wife and I are going to fly down to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal, and we're going to, and I talked to her about this, we're actually both going to come and volunteer at the haunt to scare people.
Fantastic. I can't wait.
Well, I don't know if she's going to scare people. She's not against it, but she could help in whatever way that you want. I don't know.
Fantastic. I'm all here for it.
But, you know, I can scare some people, I guess. I don't know. I'm a pretty nice guy.
I think you have it in you.
I think everybody that listens to this can agree that I'm a gentle, soft-spoken, well-mannered young man that all of you would want your daughters to date. And you're welcome for that. Mike, 2023, Gingerly Gentleman, Mightiest Striker. You interested in either one of those?
I don't know. If you do a mighty-ish striker, I might be in. But I don't think I can hit with those big boys. And my legs aren't what they used to be. So.
Well, oh my God, it's the first time you've admitted to anything like that.
Well, maybe it'll be better next year. My knee's been bugging me since Frankenmuth or so. Those damn farm fields.
Well, you will have a chance to get revenge on Teddy Bear as he beat you at the skills field. You'll get another chance for that if you choose to attend the Roll Around Barrel Classic.
I'll probably be there. I don't think Teddy will be. I don't think I've seen Teddy play baseball since Frankenmuth. He just kind of got that belt, and I think he retired.
Why wouldn't he? He's the king.
Yeah, can't go
I'm
up.
I'm doing an episode with Teddy.
Oh, man.
I am.
I'll be sure to miss that.
No, you won't. No, you won't. He's the king.
Eh.
Long live the king. No, but I will be crowning, because we talked about the format of that, the classic, the Roller Arnold's Barrel Classic. So yes. We're going through with that. You didn't love the idea. You want to tell me? You want to tell me right now why you didn't love that idea? Yes, I don't care that you didn't love the idea.
I did listen to that episode. There are a couple things that I meant to bring up, but I didn't. It's not that Canton won't play with other people. I just think our attendance goes up when we play with each other. You know, our guys love playing baseball with each other kind of thing. And I think, you know, splitting the team up into multiple teams will be more difficult. And, you know, in the sense that for overall participation, I think it's a great idea. But I think it doesn't work as well with our club that enjoys traveling together everywhere and, you know, playing events and spending nearly every weekend in the summer together. And plus we have an odd number of guys on our team. So it's like, oh, you know, who skips out this weekend? Who doesn't play? You know, who joins in with a different group of four? Those are just my main concerns, I guess, with it. I do think you'd get some participation out of Canton, but I don't think we'd have a, you know, full club there. Is a lot of our guys feel responsible to, you know, make plans and show up and not let their teammates down. And if it's not a full team event, I think some of that commitment is lost.
Well, whatever. It's a pet project to help commitment with an earlier in the season event. Seeing how I won't be doing a festival probably ever again. God, that's
you painful. Will. You will.
No, I would be more than happy to do a big event if I had big event help.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I understand that.
I would love to do a tournament where everybody comes. I mean, dude, yeah, I have so many stupid ideas that'll never happen. But
do a tournament where everybody can come, then nobody will show up. But if you make it 12 teams, everybody's going to whine and complain that they're not in it.
So how do you win? How does this work? Anyway, I'm hoping for 24 because it's three sets of four per team, eight teams, double elimination. I believe that would be, what's that, 24 teams represented by a foursome.
Yeah.
And then we're having all of the skills, the Mightiest Striker, the Gingerly Gentleman, and another skills yet to be determined. I haven't even thought of it yet, but it's in my brain somewhere.
Is there a location set for this event?
The location is being voted on, I believe, or being brought to the city council on August 8th. And I'll get the official confirmation perhaps on August 9th. Or I'll get the go look somewhere else confirmation on August 9th. So
do we get the exclusive in knowing what state it's in?
Oh, it's in Ohio.
It's in Ohio. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Middle of Ohio?
I'm trying to go as central as possible.
Okay.
With
I like that.
I can tell you what my second location is gonna be if it falls through. I'm gonna look for Toledo.
Okay.
You and I have actually talked about doing something in Toledo before. I think you scouted in Toledo.
Yeah.
And couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
But I'm not done in Toledo. So we'll see. We'll see. When's that event in Canton going to happen?
What event?
The event you're going to do to replace the hole in your heart from the festival not happening.
We have two home games a year, and we have one coming up on September 10th against the Rochester Grangers. Come check it out.
Second dick.
Are you just going to be like the Black Flags and just be a travel team? Is this what's happening in the future?
That's always what we've done. We've only had – I don't think we've ever had more than like four or five home games. You know, my guys love playing baseball, and, you know, spending, you know, 6 hours in the car is no problem, but if we're driving three for one game, we're like, well, we might as well play a doubleheader. We might as well play a festival or event or tournament or find a way to get in as much baseball as we can if we're doing these drives. But yeah, we home games, I don't have that much help. I understand that putting on a festival the size of Frankenmuth is an insane task.
It's suicide. You realize I took 6 years off my life.
I don't like doing home games. I don't do home games because I have no help.
Right. Right. You remember that? Remember that idea? You know how I have all these ideas. They never die. So some of my ideas, one day we're going to put on a professional wrestling show during a vintage baseball event. That's going to happen.
That's doable.
And the other one is the road trip where we drive up and down the East Coast and middle and just play baseball every day for like 8 straight days.
I just need to send it out in the group chat, and I think you'll have all 10 guys.
Do you think if I put together a schedule of now two matches on it, you leave on a Friday night, okay?
Yeah.
You got two matches on a Saturday, two on a Sunday, and then one on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then two on Saturday and two more on Sunday. And it was all different people, all different teams that you drove to, and you figure it out, you know, logistically. And do you think Canton would do that?
I think we're really close to doing that.
That's a lot of camping.
Yeah, not a problem. We're hotel guys, but we'll make it work. We'll get some Airbnbs. You know, we have a full-time roster of 11 players. I think we could probably get, I would say, 7 or 8 easy commitments out of that. And then, you know, grabbing the last couple might be a little tougher, but
Do you think East Coast teams and some farther east Midwest teams would be willing to schedule weekday night games?
I think it's possible, especially with something that organized and big of, you know, a 9-10 day trip. I think it's possible. At the same time, you know, when I look at it from a Canton perspective, if we're going to play, how many games in total was that? Do you have that number right there?
Well, it's 5 weekdays for the first weekend for the Sunday. So it'll be 13 games over a 9-day stretch.
Okay. Yeah. The way I look at it from Canton perspective, I'm like, well, we could do 12 on the weekends. We could do 3 Saturday, 3 Sunday, both weekends, and 1 weekday game hits that 13. So I think my guys would honestly be like, let's have more.
Yeah, but you got to be able to drive. Now, I guess you could make events where you have multiple teams coming to that location.
Yeah.
To take care of those 3 matches.
Right.
I guess you could do it that way.
And but, I think, or even if it's 2 and then you have like, you know, a couple weeknight games rather than every night of the week. So I think a big draw of that trip would be, you know, the travel aspect and all the other things you can do along the way, where if you can add in more than just baseball and, you know, make it a team building exercise as well and include other cool places to visit that as you're passing through, I think that would be more incentive for guys to do it.
Anyway, you know, yeah, you guys are probably do that well before I put together that. You guys are like, I mean, real, yeah.
We're pretty close between just in the past when we've done Akron Cup and Gettysburg like last year, you know, so like we played 9 games and traveled, you know, we've spent probably 25 hours in the car and played 9 games within the span of 9 days. So adding a couple weekday games in sounds like a piece of cake at that point.
Nice. All right, Mike. Thanks again. I mean it this time. I thought my time was going to be up at an hour, and then once it wasn't, I was like, oh, sweet. We can keep going.
Happy to.
I will see you. I'm going to be getting to where we're going. I got the match is at 5, so I'm going to be there. I assume you don't need much from me.
No.
A lot of fair or foul. Or just foul.
Yep. Nonsense. Yeah. The club we're playing doesn't really have much of a vintage baseball knowledge at all. So little things like running through the bag and, you know, getting back on foul balls and fair fouls are going to be the main things. And there should be a decent crowd out there. I think they got about a couple hundred people coming that have paid to be a part of this fundraiser, as well as some other people that are on the volunteer side of things. So should be a decent crowd out there.
Well, I'll be dressed for the part, and I'll be willing to give the little bit of knowledge that I have. And I will call the balls foul.
Fantastic. Looking forward to that. Are you coming out to Lansing at all? Are you going to check that out this weekend?
No. Okay. No, I am not. I'm working. I am working every day up until I leave for vacation. So.
Understood.
Meh. All right. Mike, have a good night. Thanks for talking with me again. Thanks for everybody who joined us live. I'll put this out tomorrow morning when I get up for work. Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good night.
Peace.